V'hine kemoshe hezbonein, al zeh davar korim kinyas ha'prisha. So he says, you want to know how to become a parish, you want to know how to incorporate some of this midah at your own level, so it's just about this contemplation. You just got to think about these things that we've been discussing. There's no magic. It's mind over matter. And emphasis over here on the mindfulness that helps make these concepts, these notions, something that's tangible and something that you can translate from the intellectual into the emotional. You feel it. You feel it inside of yourself. Kasach luso tafsid oso. So now he switches. Right? In every midah, the Mesillas Yesharim wants to tell you both sides of the coin. He wants to tell you how you're able to get the midah, Yedrel, how you can acquire it. He also has to tell you what you need to stay away from that could otherwise undermine your efforts, right? You need the sur meirav aseitov, the good and the bad. So he says in the same way that the more you think about this, the more it will become part of your consciousness, the more that you ignore it and you just act without thinking, so you're going to lose it. Vastamad ben hasarim vanshe agdulos, harov from achar akavad marvim hahevel, kibroso esa yakara hu agdula hi, I efshir shul tzor tavosabo lachmonosam. He says something very, very straightforward that we cannot deny. He says, I'm going to give a literal translation, okay? He says, hasmada, the consistent company of anshe hagdulos, you know, big people with stature, status, who by their occupation or whatever you want to call it, are always seeking more cover and more of this stuff, which, you know, is of the fleeting nature, the materialism, whatever it happens to be, the honor. The more you see people successful in that regard, or you are around people who are chasing that dream, it's impossible for you not to have that rub off on you a little bit, so, right? So it's like anything else, but maybe it's even worse. But it's like anything else where the attitude of the people in your environment is going to be mashpi on you, and whatever you're doing there, you have to be working very hard to push back. So you just have to be careful that you're not overdoing your time spent in those surroundings, okay? And if anything, maybe we can just, you know, the cherry on the top, as he said last time, is that the eyes are much stronger than any other sense or sensibility in your head, for that matter, right? So the more you see it, the more you want it. That's just like, you know, cause and effect. So be careful. Even if you don't have, Yitzhar doesn't win. Even if you're able to overcome, you're still going to have to fight. You know, and whenever you have to fight, you're in danger. Right? That, I think that's a principle also to keep in mind in general. Meaning, you know, someone can say, oh, this is not going to happen to me. You know, this is not something that's going to affect me. Maybe yes, maybe no. Right? Very often when we say it's not going to affect me, we're not being entirely honest with ourselves. But let's leave that off the table for the moment. Let's say a person, taka, can be more powerful than his desires. But what do you need that for? What do you need to waste the emotional energy that makes it difficult for you when you can have it easy? Now, there's no such thing as easy in life. There's always going to be a challenge wherever you happen to be, but you might as well avoid one challenge and seek a higher level of growth rather than sticking yourself in a situation where you're still trying to clean out the basement, so to speak. You know, so again, like what he's saying is, in modern day terms, you have to choose where you're going to live. Are you going to live in a place where you have to compete, or your kids need to feel like they're in competition with their friends for whatever it happens to be, for, you know, the way they dress, or you know, their toys, or their phones, or whatever? Or are you going to say, like, that's not the type of sakana that I need to deal with? I want to put myself into. So he throws in a pasuk over here from Koheles, and he says that this pasuk in Koheles really gets to the heart of what he's saying. Right? He says, it's along the same lines. It's always better to go to a shiva house than to go to a party, to go to a wedding, go to a bar mitzvah. So you hear that, and you're like, it depends what your yardstick is. It's never exciting to go to a shiva house, right? It's always awkward. It's always uncomfortable. You know, you want to say the right thing or not say the wrong thing. You know, it's kind of quiet, you know, but you don't walk out feeling, usually, that you accomplished, like, wow, you know, like, you don't feel like this was, you know, the best half hour of my life. If you come out of a wedding, you may feel that exhilaration and that excitement. So they're both a mitzvah, and they're both very important mitzvahs, and we got to do both of them. But comes along Shlomo Melech, and he says, just appreciate that you have a different type of potential of growth that is latent in the environment where the mitzvah takes place in one scenario as opposed to the other. So both of them are mitzvahs. But just appreciate, you can do a mitzvah here, you can do a mitzvah there, you can do a mitzvah anywhere. But the trappings of that mitzvah, the accoutrements, the associations with one mitzvah versus the other mitzvah, you may want to make a choice and at least appreciate what comes along as as the baggage involved. Again, I'm not discouraging anyone from going to a wedding. That's not the point. But the awareness of the fact that the mitzvah is not in a vacuum needs to be taken into consideration. Okay, let's try to finish the parak. The Yakam and Akol who has bodus. He says the best thing you can do is his bodus. What's his bodus mean?
Seclusion.
That's not what his bodus means. I'm not taking away from that. I just want to get the word.
Seclusion.
Correct. Seclusion. The word, like chayal, bodeid, right? Bidud, right? Right. Bidud is
quarantine.
When people had to be by themselves during COVID, right? So his bodus means by yourself, being by yourself. Now, again, I wasn't trying to take away from Rabbi Nachman or whatever. You know, like that's not the point over here. Because read how he interpreted himself. He says, to the extent that you're able to be a loner, to the extent that you're able to go solo sometimes, so that's the antithesis of being so thrust into society in a way that makes it difficult for you to have bearings on your priorities. So being by yourself is good sometimes. It's not always a good idea to be by yourself, but probably a little more hisbodus than we're used to is healthy. Sometimes we need to be around people, otherwise we feel like there's something wrong with me or someone's going to think something's wrong with me. And you know what? It's not the end of the world, because when you're by yourself, you're in control. You ever go somewhere and you took someone along with you, but you got there late because you had to wait for that person?
Yes.
Okay? All right? It's frustrating sometimes, okay? Again, like, obviously there's a chesed. You gave someone a ride in your car. Okay, so it's nice when you give someone a ride in your car. But sometimes you feel like, I'm doing you a favor. Why do you make me wait 20 minutes, right? You know, like, I know you have things to do, but, like, be considerate. So one aspect is you're depending on another person's timetable. And that person should definitely be respectful of your timetable. You're giving of yourself to them, okay? This, by the way, is a very important Shalom Bayis lesson in terms of husbands and wives. Very often, two people get married. One of them is like always on time, early, and the other one is, you know, just
on time, but their own time.
Their own time, okay. And so we'll just say it from the guy's perspective. You know, let's say you're going to a wedding. You want to get there on time. You know, it's a friend. You know, you got ready. You're taking time away from other things that you'd rather be doing. So you want to go and be there, right? But your wife needs time for her hair, for makeup, for clothing, whatever, you know, like, and guys very often get very frustrated. But you have to understand, you know, like, this is not like me just giving a ride to my friend, right? So he should be, respectful of my time. If you go to a wedding or a simcha with your wife, you're not just giving her a ride, right? That's not the point over here. You travel together, so you need to be cognizant of differences in your own styles. And like many things in life, you know, like, again, husbands and wives can have different modes of, like, how neat they are, how sloppy they are, you know, and there's so many things like that where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not as a joke, but very deliberately, you know, it says in the Gemara, Hashem is mezavik zivugim. He makes shiduchim. One of the reasons it says that Hashem makes shiduchim is to send the message to us that if my spouse is very different than me, that is not just their fault, you know, and why can't they do things differently? It's because Hashem wants me to learn how to adjust to someone else's style and be able to be tolerant of it and embrace it, maybe sometimes even learn something from it, or if there's nothing I can learn from it, to open up a chumash and read a few more psukim while I'm waiting. And say, you know, maybe Hashem is giving you this extra time so you can catch up on Shnayim Mikra. So that when your Rebbe says, What do you mean you don't have time for Shnai Mikra? You can say to him, oh, Taka, I do have time for Shnai Mikra. What a gift that I got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I have time to do more than I thought I could. So instead of getting into a fight with my spouse, I can actually be productive. And there's nothing that helps a person be more calm and relaxed, I guarantee you. When you're tense, you know, there's some people, you know, people have different ways of dealing with tension, okay? Exercise is a great way to relieve stress. I hear table tennis is mamish like, you know, better than therapy, okay? Some people who can get exercise, there's some people who can, talking relieves stress. There's nothing better to relieve stress than learning. You sit down with a sefer, it's so true. You know, you're just transported to a different world, even for 5 minutes. Just brings you can literally forget. You're supposed to, right? You're supposed to be so tuned into the learner that you forget about everything. It will actually be a tremendous stress reliever. That's, by the way, that's one of the reasons why night seder is so helpful for your entire day, because it allows you to unplug from everything else that you're doing. And then after an hour or so, you know, 2 hours of learning, you go back and do your homework, but like you'll feel much better about it. Donnie? MS?
3 hours, 4 hours.
3 hours, 4 hours, yes. You know, don't even do the homework, you know, just stay in the base. Stay in the base. Okay, this one's going on Y Torah, we'll say. Okay, but we'll say, think of it. I can't resist. Can we go an extra 5 minutes today?
Yeah.
Okay. The Rambam says something. You'll hear this from me at least once or twice a year, but come on. Why not? The Rambam talks about the obligations that a wife has to a husband, obligation that a husband has to a wife, and some of them are pretty surprising. The Rambam talks in Hilchos Ishus, the 15th parak of Hilchos Ishus, parak Tezvav, says like this. Talks about honoring each other, right? Halacha Yutes, the Rambam says, the Chachamim commanded a person to honor his wife more than he honors himself. Yosher Migufo, and he has to love her, Kigufo. If he has money, he's got to spend it on her. Okay, and he also shouldn't create an atmosphere at home of a pachad and yira. You know, your wife shouldn't be afraid of you because you have a big temper and you know, like you're gonna lash out in some way. Chas v'shalom. And he finishes. He says, "Via dibura ima benachas." You'd speak to her calmly. Now, obviously, that means even if she's not speaking calmly, but we know that the best way to diffuse a high-strung face-off is if one person is very agitated, the other person speaks calmly, right? It's hard to yell at someone who's not yelling back, right? That's not like a cynical reaction. It's actually a way to help. It doesn't always work, but it helps bring things down to a point where we can actually have a conversation like adults rather than just yelling at each other. So Zakta Rambam, Dibura ima benachas, to be calm, and speak calmly. And then he says, lo rag, then he shouldn't be angry. Below ye otziv, he shouldn't be sad. He shouldn't be sad. That's one of the obligations. I get like kavod and affection and being calm, but you shouldn't be sad. You shouldn't be sad. It means you have an obligation emotionally to be in good spirits, right? It doesn't say that the woman has the obligation to be in good spirits for her husband. It means when you come home from work or wherever you come home from, before you knock on the door, before you walk inside, take a deep breath and you smile, because it can change the entire mood in the home if someone comes in with a geschmack, with a positive attitude. It can go a really long way. And that's one of the husband's responsibilities. Rabbi Neuberger once commented, he said, there may be the reason why this is the man's role and he can do it successfully, because the man has a chiyuv to learn. And he has a tool that he can always use to help it, however stressful his day was, to just disconnect from the stress, at least temporarily. You're going to have to deal with it later, but temporarily, to learn for a few minutes, you guys know what I'm talking about? Like, it can take you away from whatever else is on your mind. Use that as a positive tool. That's a gift. Let's finish the parak. So sometimes being on your own allows you to have the flexibility. We a little digression over there. We spoke about some of the challenges, some of the nisyonos that can crop up when a person has to deal with other people. Those are good nisyonos. Those are good nisyonos, because chesed means I am giving of myself to another person, which is one of the things that I'm obligated to do. If there was no challenge, if I just lived on a mountaintop all day, I would never be able to do any chesed. Chesed, by definition, means sometimes I'm going to come, you know, within a little bit of conflict to someone else in order to give to them. Fine. But in a healthy, balanced way, sometimes a person should be doing his own thing. Tehillim Nun Hey, Davar HaMelech says, Mi'itin li'eva kiyona, hine achak nedor olim b'midbar sela. Who will give me wings like a dove to just, you know, sometimes I got to fly off to the midbar and have some time to myself. Neviim al yov elisha matano yosam yachdem makom al harim bnei esbar rusam v'chav machazim rishonim zal holcha b'kvaseim kimotalam ze emtsoy ha-yosam mucham leknel shlem esaprishas man shal yivim havli ha-chavrem ha-havil gam hem kamosam. Great people like Elisha and Eliyahu and other chacham after them, they would isolate themselves sometimes. Again, these were also Neviim who interacted directly with the people, right? They taught a lot of Torah. They came in contact with the general public all the time. But there was, in their striving for higher levels, there were periods where they had to be by themselves. So we're not on that level. We're not striving to be the same type of chassid. But a little slice of our lives needs to be in that realm. He says what to avoid in this area is not jumping too fast, not, you know, imagining that you can just like skip all the rungs on the ladder. He said, that's definitely not going to work. Your efforts in this realm need to be little by little, step by step. A little bit each day. And ultimately become natural for you. You know, I had a friend who didn't have to sleep so much in yeshiva. Now, again, I'm not recommending this for people. But we know, like, if we stay up late sitting for a test, you crash, right? The next day, like, you know, I can't wake up in the morning, right? But some people can do it. So, again, every person needs the amount of sleep that their body requires. There's some people who get by with less. But people who do that, again, I'm not saying 4 hours of sleep, but people get a little less sleep and manage, it's often because they slowly acclimated their body to it. You know, 5 minutes a day, you know, over the course of a few weeks, you know, you may be able to stay up a little bit later and not feel the same effects. But again, this is something which is a question you need to talk about with a doctor. And I'm definitely not recommending a person deprive themselves of sleep. Sleep is necessary for the body to regenerate, for brain cells to regenerate, for the whole body to keep itself in shape. Shmartim olam nafshosechem. We have to take care of our bodies, take care of our minds, because that's the way we take care of our neshamas.